Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, X-Men 97.
I'm 97, bringing you all the hits from the late 90s. Let's go, Third Eye Blind, Jumper.
What?
Wish you would step back up. That's 97. That's pure 97, baby.
Yes. That's Justin who said that, and the other one is Pete.
I said Jumper. Oh, I always mix myself up with Third Eye Blind's Jumper. That's my
Yes, fair enough. Anyway, those are my two co-hosts on this show. I'm very excited to talk to them about X-Men.
Whoa, no, you guys are my co-hosts.
I think we're all co-hosts.
Let's be clear
The C is capital, the H is capital in mine, but otherwise it's exactly the same thing. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be talking about X-Men 97 Episode 4, Motendo / Life Death Part 1. If you haven't watched it on Disney Plus, go watch it. We're going to spoil it. We're going to talk about it here. Brief bit of recap here. The first half, it's Jubilee's 18th birthday. She's bummed out because Magneto doesn't want to go to the mall. So she and Roberto get sucked into a video game.
He's barista-ing for Rogue is what he wants to do.
You can get these X-Men mugs online.
Hold on. Check them out. We can talk about all of that in a second.
They end up in
a video game created by Mojo to send Jubilee technically through her greatest hits. We can talk about that as well. And ultimately, she meets a digital older version of herself and realizes it's okay for things to change and grow up. And she makes out with Roberto at the end of that first half of the episode.
Oh.
In the second, I want to say half, except it's 10 minutes out of the 30 minutes, we get to see Storm and Forge as Forge is trying to help Storm get her powers back.
Jean shorts.
What? By the way, Pete, between last week and this week, have you been slipping in those jeans?
Yeah.
What?
Slipping in those jeans.
Last week. You don't memorize our podcasts, Pete?
No.
Well, I do.
Do you? Yes.
I study the scripts and circle our mistakes.
That hard to believe.
I need to learn my lines somehow. Anyway, and Storm is trying to get her powers back. It seems to not completely work. She also finds out a shocking revelation about Forge. He may be power-dampening collars. And then, ultimately, she has a nightmare or something where she is confronted by an evil owl who is...
Storm.
Who is Storm. So, yeah, spoiler, I guess. So, there you go. I've seen... It's been very interesting. I think, like, the conversation we had about last week's episode was very much on par with the conversation I've seen online, where most people were like, that was a lot. You went through a lot. And I know you felt differently, Justin, but that's definitely people still really enjoying it, but they felt that. I've seen a lot more split reaction to this episode in particular. A lot of people.
Split?
Yeah, I think like we're thrown by the format. Didn't like the fact that they were focusing in on specific things and not going as fast versus the pace that we've had in the first three episodes. So I'm curious to get your temp check. How did you feel about this one?
Pete, you're usually running about 108 degree temperature. So what did you think about this?
Yeah, I'm running hot. Yeah, I got a lot to say about this.
Brain's boiling.
The pace of this continues to be insane. Except for when it kind of slows down to a screeching halt for some really weird moments in this episode. But overall, I'm kind of like when it's about to start, I'm like, oh man, what's this going to be like? But then the theme music plays and I am all fucking in. It kind of does a mind wipe on me and gets me excited for the episode at the same time. But yeah, I have a lot of things to say about individual aspects of the episode, but we'll wait for that. But yeah, overall, this was like a fast forward blast.
Wow. So it's hard to tell if that was positive or negative. You were like fast forward. It's too fast, but it's also stopped at points, you're saying.
Yeah.
See, I felt like it was slower, but we were just getting hit with the layers of information and just pure... unadulterated, like, heroin nostalgia into your heart going on in this episode. That is what sort of replaced the pace of action in this, to be, like, hitting you with, like, images from the 90s, the video game stuff, the movie references, and all that. Like, so it was still, like, the right amount of a lot to keep pace with everything. But I feel like I was surprised with this story. I would have flipped it, I think. I would have done, it very much felt like we ate dessert first on this. Ooh. And then we got to this much more like intensely emotional story that ends up being like.
You want to end on the kiss is what you're saying. You like a nice kiss ending.
Yeah, yeah, everything should end on a kiss, including this podcast.
What?
I do think part of it is that the next episode is Life Death Part 2. So yeah, they're probably going to like full on do part Forge two. And Storm the entire episode versus splitting it like this. So that's probably why they went to that direction. I do wonder why they didn't just have a shorter episode of Motendo and then release Life Death is like a longer thing, presumably right. 40, 45 minutes, something like that.
Well, I will say, I think they did it this way because this is what the X-Men cartoon, the original did from the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny. I just watched the Mojoverse episode in the original series this week.
Oh, what are the odds?
And that and the Savage Land runner. The
hey,
the
Savage Land
finale.
Was in this. I called that. You we did. Got Savage Lands in this episode.
And the fact,
oh, you do remember things all of a sudden. Well, you remember that. But not slipping in these jeans.
Just for a second. A brief moment of consciousness from burning hot.
Stopped boiling.
But I mean, all of these things are, it's wild how much fidelity they have to the original nonsense of this. And the way that there was always something happening, there's like five kettles on at all times in the X-Men animated show. And in this one, it was actually edited down a lot, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To these, just these two main stories.
Yeah. I really love this, honestly. I have been really enjoying the fast pace of everything. Like I said, I felt like last episode was a little too much, but I was telling Pete before we got on, I just couldn't sleep Wednesday night for whatever reason.
Problems.
Got up at like, at around 4 a.m., I was like, I'm not getting back
that's
to sleep.
That's not a wake-up hour. That's a middle
no,
of the
well,
night.
It is, but I was like, break. You know what? If the new X-Men is on, I don't want to do this because I'm exhausted right now and I feel awful, but I'll put on some coffee and watch X-Men 97. And exactly what Pete was saying at 4:30 in the morning, the second I heard the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, I was like, this is better than any coffee.
Who needs coffee?
Injected into my veins.
You have
a legitimately, like, gave that experience of Saturday morning cartoons where I was up before everybody else in the back room watching, you know, eating a bowl of cereal or whatever. That was pretty great. It was fun.
We should watch the season one finale. All three of us get up early, get on Zoom, watch it together in footy pajamas with big bowls of cereal.
Oh my God.
At Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Let's go. Come on.
That
let's
would be glorious.
Real. Let's
Don't
do this
tease
real.
Me. Don't tease me with a good time. Listen, Zelbatron, I think what you're not realizing is you have a Disney alarm clock in your head that at 4:30 when the new episodes were originally going up, your body was like, it's Disney time. You
I
know?
Mean, I've said this before. And I'm sure I've said this on the podcast, but definitely like it is not my job currently to write about X-Men 97, even though we're talking about it, but
it seems like it still
when
is.
It was my job to write about Marvel stuff and I didn't have the episodes in advance, legitimately without an alarm, my body would wake me up at 3 a.m. and be like, new episode on now, get
it's
up,
time to
watch.
Hey, when you're a journalist like the three of us are, have to always be on call.
That is not exactly. True.
The news doesn't rest and neither do we.
I 100% agree. Nothing. I really like both halves of these. I will disagree with the internet. There were definitely some goofy parts, but as we've talked about before, the show leans into being goofy. It doesn't shy away from that. So I have some questions and some holes I want to poke and stuff, but I loved the throwback video game stuff in the first half.
Well, let's
fun focus on Jubilee. Loved seeing the original voice of Jubilee as old Jubilee. I thought was pretty great as well. Fun little, not so secret Easter egg there. And then
did
the
you like
half,
their jump hug that they did?
It was perfect. Everything was great about it. And then the second half, Life Death, I thought like was appropriately dramatic and emotional, which feels very much a piece of that era of X-Men as well, which this is, I haven't gone back to Reddit. We should probably read Life Death before next week. This is based directly on an X-Men storyline. But it feels like it could be pulled straight out of a comic. So that's great.
Okay, let's back up the truck and talk a little bit about what you said. So the
can
first
we back up the truck for a second and talk about the Marvel flip? Because I'm shocked
yes.
that we haven't
Thank
talked
you.
About that yet
Thank
on
you.
This show. First 2 weeks, they did the X-Men theme over the Marvel animation thing. Yep. It has classic Marvel animation, which I thought was awesome. Yep. This week, they did the Marvel Studios
thing,
and I was a little disappointed, to be
honest. Yeah, but then the X-Men music kicks in, and then you're, like, mind-wiped and like, yeah, I'm having fun.
That's not going to fix everything, Pete. The X-Men music isn't going to fix.
So far, it's fixing everything, bro.
If you're late on your taxes and – if you're late on your taxes a couple weeks, you can't just turn on the X-Men theme.
Oh, shit, taxes.
Yeah, you got 11 days as we're taping. You flip on that X-Men theme, you're good to go. Send that direct to the IRS.
Yeah, exactly. Send it to the IRS.
You're golden. Stay golden.
All right, so let's talk about
his
this.
Adamantium bones. That doesn't seem real.
Can you do that?
All right, so let's talk about it. The nostalgia factor was high, but they said, you know, Nintendo...
Hold on. You are skipping right past the opening credits, Pete. Now, in the opening credits, also very cool, there's a couple of things that were pretty neat. One thing, they switched jeans. They slipped into their jeans in the opening credit. We now got the correct Jean with a different haircut versus Madeline Pryor, who was on the first three episodes. So that was very neat. And all of those scenes in there, we're getting, what's her name? Lorna Dane.
Lorna Dane? Bringing that Polaris energy out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Sweet. All that Xavier stuff, he is 100% coming back by the end of the season.
Approached it quickly. We got a little preview of the Mojo in the opening.
And
it's
interesting to me that we keep ending, like we switch up all of the shots between or most of the shots between, but we keep ending with that shot of Morph being chased by Mr. Sinister. That feels important to me. That feels like that they keep hitting that in there. I feel like we're going to see a lot more of that in the season to come.
Well, and again, just to keep being the archivist here, as I rewatch the original series, Mr. Sinister is a little bit the main villain of the first couple seasons. You know, he's got his nasty boys out there doing his bidding, and he's not as sort of all-powerful as he is in the comics and in other iterations of him. He's just, like, sort of mean and very evil, a little more evil. Apocalypse is sort of, like, above it all. Mr. Sinister is the guy on the ground who's fucking things up. So it makes sense that he's a little more present here.
Yeah.
Okay. But then we go into the kind of classic lineup as
Hold on, I want to step back and talk about the loading screen. Now, when I don't know if you guys have noticed, they changed the color on Disney Plus since it joined with Hulu.
It's like a little
more of a teal. It takes longer to load. Honestly, I don't love it.
Oh.
I know, I think you're making a joke, but I do have another couple of things to say about the opening credits. White Queen is hanging. Love that. I don't know if what that means. I don't think she's going to be the hero version of her that we have gotten for the last many years.
Yeah,
she's coming also. Mm-hmm. And then we jump into...
Not a hero.
There she is. She's married to Tony Stark, you
not
blasphemer. Huh?
She's a hero.
A very nice and, you know, pretty acerbic, but in a fun way. Woman who's married to one of the smartest people in the Marvel comic universe. What a great couple.
Yeah. Can we, cool. Is there anything we're going to talk about back even further, potentially? I don't know.
Like into our childhood? Oh, footy pajamas?
Footy pajamas. You want to talk about Motendo. Take it away, Pete.
Okay, thanks.
Well, we missed out on the Gambit Rogue Magneto love triangle stuff, which, first off, Gambit is like a walking Ken doll on this show. The way they dress him is insane.
Yeah, the 80s half shirts, dude. You remember those?
He remembers them. He doesn't take – that's his base layer. Yeah. He doesn't
mention, I have a little bone to pick with you, Justin. All the jokes you made about Rogue being a cat, when Gambit was like, you take your coffee with milk, right, Cher? I was like, that's because she's a cat.
Yeah, see?
It's
real.
She's a cat. That whole thing, that love triangle is so insane, and they're just like needling each other the entire time.
I've never seen a love triangle set up and have one guy lose so hard immediately. Gambit is losing this love triangle. He's basically at their wedding being like, hey, we still dating? or what?
And it's like it's seating over. People. He's like, are you with the bride? Or the
I room? Also want to mention the, I don't know if you've seen any of this, but the cast is having so much fun with it. They were at a panel. They were out at WonderCon this past weekend. And I'm probably mispronouncing his name, but AJ LoCascio, who does the voice of Gambit, dressed in the Rock crop top the entire time. And they they basically like walked around doing memes with like him sitting in the background at a diner and the voice of Rogue and the voice of Magneto sitting together and talking and him just glaring at them in the background. So much fun.
Great.
What a good time. That's great. I also wanted to ask you about that scene. This is another thing you stuck in my head a little bit, Justin. What is Beast doing on this show? Like so far.
Exactly. Nothing. He's doing nothing. He's in the opening credits and that's it.
That's fine. Beast had such an outsized presence in the original anime.
At the birthday.
He doesn't have anything to offer. In the original series, all he did was occasionally be... He was in jail for like a full season, just reading random books. He'd be like, well, I like this. I like the Prisoner of Azkaban or whatever. Just get the fuck out of here. I don't need a book review.
People are like, what's that? Yeah. It's 1993.
Yeah, it's exactly 97.
The Count of Monte Cristo is what I was trying to say there. But he was just occasionally providing jacket book reviews and nothing else. And it's the same here. But at least they're not putting him in every frame. So we have to see him be like, that's pretty curious, huh? And it's like, go home. Yeah.
Who are you? What are you doing here? Who's that blue guy? Who's the big blue guy? Wolverine continues to be great in this scene as well. God. Morph, very fun. So nice, awkward moments there. Good-looking muffins they're eating in the morning. But yes, I think we are up to bad-looking muffins.
Good-looking muffins?
Good-looking muffins. I was watching at 4:30.
What is that?
I was sipping my coffee.
Look at those muffins, man. Yeah, I'm looking
clearly
good.
Hallucinating.
Looking good, muffin. Looking good.
It's clearly hallucinating. You're vulnerable. You're highly vulnerable to muffins, it being so pre-breakfast for you.
Yes, it's my one weakness.
It was Motendo. Chocolate chip, and then there was like carrots sticking out of one of the muffins. And it looked a little shady. It's my point. It looked like
you never made a muffin with full carrots in it. Yeah. That's a carrot cake muffin.
And again, not to keep riding Beast, but chocolate chip muffins are not a breakfast muffin. That's a dessert. Put that away.
Shots.
That's basically a
cupcake. Wait. What about like a chocolate croissant?
Yeah, sure. If you're a friend.
What's the difference there?
Huh?
What's the difference there? A chocolate croissant is more of a dessert than a chocolate muffin.
A croissant is not a health food. A muffin purports to be
fiber breakfast. You feel betrayed.
Exactly. It's a lie. A chocolate chip muffin is lying to you about what it's doing. It's a sneak in
a
dessert.
Chocolate has a lot of good effects on the body. It has antioxidants.
Your kid has gotten to you. You're broken. Your kid is incepted.
All we eat in this house is chocolate. That's it.
Yeah. Alex lives in a chocolate house. He's like a witch in Hansel and Gretel.
I'm trying to boil my kids, and so far it's not working.
Listen, muffins are morning cake, okay? We all know that.
All right.
Oh, wow.
I want to appreciate that every time you tried to talk about Nintendo, we've gotten farther back to the point that now we're discussing breakfast, the first part of the day.
Yep. All right, so Nintendo, the problem is...
What kind of dreams did you guys have last night?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Fully the end of all conversations.
So, Nintendo, the problem is it looks like a Sega Genesis or an old PlayStation, but it's clearly a play on Nintendo, so I was a little disappointed there.
Can I say what I thought you were going to say? What I thought you were going to say about Nintendo, which is what I thought, is when I read the name of this episode, at no point did I take away from it Mojo Nintendo, which is the most obvious thing to take away from it. Instead, I was like, Nintendo / Life Death Part 1. Nintendo. What an intriguing foreign word. I wonder what that means. I guess we'll find out in the episode. And then when it was Nintendo, I was like, oh, I feel very dumb.
See, I read the title and then I looked at the icon of the episode and clearly it was Mojo and I was like, Nintendo. Okay.
I have two responses to your complaint, Pete. Number one, this show came out after the Super Nintendo, which looked a lot like what you're describing as a Sega Genesis. So I think they were doing a Super Motendo. Secondarily, in a lot of cartoons in this era, they just made mistakes because they were making them high on cocaine and in a real rush. It could also be that.
Okay. Well, how about the fact that, you know, some of the video game stuff was clearly the old X-Men arcade game, but then there was also, like, stuff that looked like Mega Man, there was stuff that looked like different kind of video games, you know, so... Yeah, there was a lot of different. There was like a Street Fighter versus Marvel versus Capcom kind of fighting screen. There, it was a lot. But when she jumped in and started beating the Sentinels, I was like, "Oh my God! I feel like I'm playing the X-Men game right now. This is awesome."
The way that they're able to deploy multiple layers of nostalgia at the same time is shocking. It's like next level. A lot of like shows and movies will be like, look, it's this thing from the past. This show is like, look, it's your life. We're inside it.
It doesn't even say look. It's just showing you things from your life.
You can't avoid it. Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. It's like having, it's like getting hit in the head with a frying pan and waking up.
I do love that too, but I want to keep stressing on every episode of the show that at the same time, I think they're making it fun and accessible, whether you lived in the 90s or not. It is a fun, breezy, ridiculous episode of a TV show that maybe you don't get all of the explicit references, but it's still about Jubilee, it's about Roberto, it's about their journeys.
Yeah, but
Mojo and Spiral being absolutely ridiculous as they usually are. So I laud this show for also making references to five previous seasons of a TV show that frankly I have not seen, and you do not need to watch to still enjoy this episode. That's hard to do, which is good.
I like that we're on literal opposite paths. You've never seen it. I've watched all of it, and I'm now rewatching all of it. And I will say, they do a great job of keeping the references alive and, to your point, making it so you don't have to know all the references. But I'll also say it – go ahead.
But that's my point, is the references are going by so fast, unless you know them. I mean, you're barely registering. I mean, you're like, oh, that's a video game. Okay, but you're, you know, I don't know if you're getting the Matrix references and all the other stuff,
Tron.
Unless you kind of, you know, there's a lot of things that are going by
fast.
You
don't have to. It's either you get it or not.
But well, I'm just saying the level of enjoyment versus, you know, like being in the joke versus like this is just a fast
TV show. That's what I'm saying,
joke.
Is this is not... This is not X-Men movie, you know, or like scary movie. It's not like a parody thing.
It
like,
should be called X-Men 90s references is what
that's
it should
not
be
what
called.
It is. It is about the characters and it's about Jubilee. And that's what I already said.
What about
said.
The phone booth? I mean, the whole show came to a crawling stop because they were like, hey, look, a phone booth. Oh, it's probably a trap. No, we're doing a Matrix reference, you assholes. But, you know, like the
whole thing. It doesn't matter. You don't
sorry,
have to.
Assholes in that question.
All of us.
I mean, all of us
are
there. Us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me see. I think the difference here is like sort of old. We're in a post nostalgia zone here. I think the old way of doing nostalgia was what they did with the Motendo, where it's like, look, like the show does like slow down and really gesture at, look at this thing. We're referencing this thing from the 90s. And that is like, so I was like, yes, that's fine. But then after that, once they're in there, we're in like a soup of nostalgia that we all live in if we're from that era. And the way the writers are able to recreate how the inside of our brains work, where we're always sort of seeing things and referencing, oh, that reminds me of that. That's like that. It's a much more aware way of doing nostalgia that I think it's a hard to deploy and not a lot of shows do it. And this show is just letting us boil in it. Each episode, in a way.
The other thing is that pretty much everybody has played video games, and I can guarantee you 99% of the audience, whatever age and experience with the X-Men they are, who are watching X-Men 97, understand the general idea.
Yeah, Alex, you're making the case like, this is for everyone. Your great-grandmother could sit down and really take a lot from this. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Maybe they could be like, oh, there's humans on screen. But this show is the fact they go into the Mojoverse, a place that is a TV planet run by a psychopath who is, for some reason, thin and then not thin later. He's half robot. He has a woman with six arms who runs his channel but is fucking it up somehow. It's crazy. And you're like, everyone understands this. Ask your local bus driver if he loves the Mojo episode. And that was only 15 minutes of the episode.
Don't put Hank into this.
I'll throw out something that didn't quite work for me.
Wait.
Yes.
I still am at the arcade here. I just wanted to say that, like, there is references and stuff, but because it's like they're running from these obvious, you know, it, like for one second, it looks like G.I. Joe where they're running and shooting lasers. And then they kind of run down an alley that's straight out of the Matrix. And then they kind of run by and they're like, oh, what should we do? What should we do? It's just so much happening.
So that can I agree with you kind of on this? And maybe sure. This is what you're getting towards. So there were two things that didn't detract from my enjoyment of the episode, but didn't quite work for me while I was watching it. One was the inconsistency of the video game, that they started out being like, we're inside the game, and it's for the world of X-Men 97, real with some glitches. And then they're in a side-scrolling game, and then they're like in the real world, but Magneto is acting like a video game character and talking like a video game character. It was a little all over the place. Like, there was no... There were no rules to the video game world. That was one thing. The other thing that didn't quite work for me was Jubilee's emotional journey, because I didn't get from what was going on with Magneto that she needs to grow up and accept change. Exactly. And then all of the things that she visited, she's like, oh my God, we're back at the time that Sentinels attacked us in the mall. Do you remember when we were in a work camp and we were prisoners? Wasn't that great? And I was like, these are not memories that anybody wants to revisit. What are you doing?
I actually would I would tweak your message, because I don't think Magneto was like, you have to grow up. I think he was like, you need to figure out your powers or this world is going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And then I think that lesson is actually sort of told really well, because she meets her older self whose powers are dope. And she actually learns a little, because that was one of my favorite parts, is Jubilee was always in the original cartoon. It was like, she doesn't really do much besides like be young and shoot sparks.
Sparkler.
And the way they animated her spark powers, it looked like they weren't even real in the universe. They're like little ghost particles. And so like the fact that we got a real power set from her here, I thought was awesome. And I think was a good way for her to,
I love that. I'm just like, I liked where we ended up, but her saying like, you know what, it's okay if things change, didn't really seem to connect to what happened before.
It was a little weird, because it started out being like, I want to go to an arcade, it's my birthday, which seems like a personally a very reasonable fun thing to do. And Magneto's like, nah, I'm magnetic, I don't like to go to arcades, I wipe all the machines. And so I think it's one of those things where she's upset and then jumps into a video game, and then the video game is like, you can't spend your whole life playing video games, even though you just told your friend video games are awesome and people who don't like them suck at them, so move on with your life, you know, coming from the older version who was stuck in the game forever. So I appreciated, you know, a little bit of what that was saying. Magneto had a good message. He's saying like, listen, you got your powers, you got to figure things out. And she did get to do a super move in the video game. So I feel like we got some forward movement, even though it was kind of weird. And I'm glad she's 18, but it was just kind of a weird thing to kind of announce, where she was like, hey, Alex, I'm legal now, call me.
What? Roberto, let's talk about his emotional arc, though, which was another one that I thought, like, this episode was clearly leading up to him using his powers, because Jubilee kept being like, no, it's okay, use your powers, nobody's here, nobody's going to see you. They realize they're in a video game world where nobody's going to see them. And by the
end, it's being broadcast, by the way,
hasn't used his powers, which is strange. That was strange.
He did use them in this episode. He saved the day.
A little bit, but he also died. Like, he didn't. I don't know. I expected a little more out of that, is what I'm saying.
I mean, he had to come back to life, and then he used him at the end there.
I think it was just hard to keep – it was definitely Jubilee's story, so I think it was hard to give him a clear arc at the same time, because I agree with you. He was sort of the sidekick, because when she kissed him at the end, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. I guess he was there the whole time, and maybe you might be more connected to him. But I didn't feel it while I was watching the
Yeah, that's the story. Weird part, is they seemed like just kind of like two people in an adventure. And then older Jubilee was like, okay, lovebirds. And then, you know, they made out. So And then we got some light fireworks as they were making out.
You never had a digital older version of yourself tell you to kiss somebody?
Alex, I think we're talking to the older version. This is the older version.
Oh, no. All right.
Jean shorts.
Let's do it. Come on. Second part.
Let's slip in those jeans with the second part of the episode. Very dramatic stuff going on here. This was definitely like my 4:30 brain watching this. But for me, the funniest, weirdest part was when... Nobody else is going to find this funny. When Forge and Storm are talking, and Forge is like, you know what you got to do? Clear your mind. Let's go for a ride. And then they cut to Storm, and she's just like going up and down, and they hold on her for a really long time. And I was like,
dude,
is she riding Forge? Is she?
You thought
like,
they were having like hardcore.
No, I thought she was like on his shoulders.
No. She was like, man, I miss being able to soar. So right. He's like, let's go ride horses. You must have blanked out.
He didn't say horses. And the amount of time they did not show the horse, it stretched out long enough that I started to wonder what she was riding on.
She was soaring.
Maybe he turned into some sort of car or something. I don't know. He can build anything.
He can become a lot of things.
He can build anything you can imagine. He can build himself into a transformer.
The fun thing about this for me was, or not fun, but just like, it's funny to me that Storm, that he's like, try using your powers. And she's like, no problem. And rather than just like doing it, she's like, winds of change. God, I'm like, yo, cool it. You don't know if it's going to work. Is that how it has to work for her?
It definitely feels like she needs to say something incredible to make the weather happen. And I don't think that's true.
That's not canonically true, but the X-Men cartoon, she's always like, may the sun light the brain from your brow. It's like, hey, lady. You don't have to say all that. No one else is giving a monologue. What are you, auditioning for something, girl?
Yeah, a lot of people have to monologue to activate their powers, so I don't appreciate that. But listen.
Podcasting voice erupt from my mouth as we speak.
Yeah, I guess so. There were times where in this second part where I felt like things slowed down. You know, like all of a sudden they're – you know, soaring along. Then she almost goes off a cliff. And then she's like, hey, I noticed that owl before. Kind of funny because of the wind only blows this third. I was like, what are we doing right now? Why are we just kind of talking? And then, it was a long shot of her soaring, but I didn't think she was just riding cock. I thought she was clearly, you know, on a horse.
I thought they were going to cut to Storm riding on his shoulders as he ran through the landscape.
It's crazy that you're both wrong. You're both wildly wrong.
If you saw an owl, Pete, you wouldn't remark on the owl. You wouldn't be like, oh, an owl.
An owl, sure, but I wouldn't be like, that's weird. I noticed that owl earlier in the day. The winds only blow to the east. That doesn't make any sense why they would still be in that one place. It's almost like the movie Matrix where the guy sees the cat and then they stop and talk about how weird it is. And I was like, I get it. We don't need to kind of screech to a part. But what was also weird was how many pictures of Forge he had on his wall in those same jean shorts he's wearing. I was like, come on, guy.
X-Factor picture on the wall. That was
good. There was, yeah.
Very cool. Do you think he only has one pair or he has – is he – because when I have jean shorts, it's because I've cut them down from jeans.
Do you think he's a never nude? Wait.
So you buy jeans and then I'm assuming get them dirty and then cut them into shorts?
Get a hole in them. Yeah, if they still have – if the tops are good, I'll make some shorts out of them.
Okay, and then you're
just – where do you think jean shorts come from?
Somebody would go and then buy jean shorts, not like have
jeans. You buy
jeans
shorts, they look weird. The cool jean shorts, they come from jeans. Slipping jeans.
Okay. Yeah.
Plus, you got to cut them shorter so you can see a little of the ass corners. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. What? Ass
pennies. You got to be like, hanging cheek.
Whatever. Peekaboo shorts. You're ridiculous.
You're talking about some of the bottom butt. You're talking about the curve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll wear my pair next time I see you guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh man, can't wait.
Yeah. And they never saw each other again.
So, you know, Forge is talking about how great she is, makes her get into the machine basically to torture her. Be like, hey, try to use your powers. Hey, try it. No, try it now. Yeah, try.
We all know what's going on here, right? This is the only problem with this storyline is, like, of course she got into the machine and it worked and she has a mental block. And that's why the owl, who is her, is stopping her from using her powers. My question is, how long until we get there in next week's episode, you know?
What about the goddess, I love you slap? Don't fast forward through that.
That was pretty quick.
He dropped the L-bomb pretty fast. Oh, you admit
it was fast, huh?
To say I love you, yeah.
Ooh.
Did he say I like you?
He did. He should have said like I love you or something.
Yeah. That's a great halfway mark to love.
You say like, then love, then love.
Exactly. That's the grown up way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I think we properly covered this episode, unless there were any other moments anybody wants to call out.
I just thought it was weird that Storm's voice was coming out of the demon owl, you know.
Yeah, why do you think that is, Pete?
Because evil demon Storm.
No, because it is Storm, and she's having a nightmare. And
it's powers. Popular X-Men character Bloodstorm.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's Blood Owl.
It's Blood Dream Owl?
Blood Dream Owl. My favorite X-Men character finally on screen. Let's go to the vision board and talk about what we want to see in next week's episode. Spoiler, it's going to be more of the last 10 minutes of this episode. That's what's on my vision board.
I will say, on my vision board, the other X-Men have to show up. Like, I think it's going to... Here's my prediction is Forge is going to call them and they're going to come because Storm, like, is having in a coma or something. And there's going to be some sort of thing. Because the other X-Men have to be involved, I think.
Well, but they could also do that nightmare style, right? Like, that's a little bit like the Inferno episode, but we didn't have that happen with Storm. So it could just be her confronting all of her friends, all of her fears with that, going through every aspect.
What about Shadow King, if she's having kind of a nightmare situation?
I thought Shadow King for a second, just based on the way the owl stuff started, but I don't think they'll go that way.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, and you'll see what happens on our podcasts, which you can support at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. Yep. We would love to chat with you about X-Men 97. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
Let the rains cleanse you of this podcast as tomorrow we rise and podcast again.
Please.